Now we are going to talk to our expert, ophthalmologist and medical director at the Wellington Eye Clinic at the Beacon, Dr. Arthur Cummings. Arthur, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Thank you very much.
Let's talk about a general problem for this time of year, and that is the high pollen count. And, you know, people complain that their eyes get itchy. Is there anything you can do about that?
Absolutely, Pat. Yeah, the end of June tends to be the highest concentration of grass seeds, and that's the allergy that most people have if it's seasonal. There's some very good antihistamines on the markets. What they do is they simply provide a lot more comfort, and they stop you from rubbing your eyes. Wearing sunglasses outside also helps. It keeps the pollen from making contact with your eyes. And then the very best thing, if it's possible, is to know what actually triggers the allergy and then to try and avoid that. But that's not that easy. But yeah, this is it's a rough time of the year for people who suffer with allergies. But there's some very good topical eye drop antihistamines on the market now. So just speak to your ophthalmologist.
Now, another problem that has come up in these conversations from time to time is lazy eye. And there's a new technology that might help. What is it?
That's exactly right, Pat. You know, until very recently, if you were seen by an eye care professional and you were seeking advice about a lazy eye, you'd have been told there's nothing that we can do. The window of opportunity is gone. And that was before the age of 7. And we've simply missed that opportunity. So unfortunately, there's nothing we can do. But the good news is that's no longer true. For the last few years, people have been working on this, but now it's come to fruition. So today, there are digital therapies called dioptric treatments, and they can improve the lazy eye's vision and make it part of the binocular vision system, where the two eyes work together again, and improve the overall visual performance. And these treatments typically involve you playing a game on your PC or your laptop at home while wearing a special pair of glasses. They're either red, green, or red, blue, like you have at the 3D movies, for 30 minutes per day for around 30 days. And this gives you a permanent improvement in your binocular visual functioning. And even as an adult, you can do this, and there's no age limit. And as far as children go, in the past, if we were patching children, we'd patch the one eye, the good eye, so that the lazy eye is forced to work up until the age of 7 or 8. And of course, there's a stigma attached, and the kids take the patch off. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we haven't seen a child yet who doesn't prefer the idea of just playing a game at home, and no one even knows they're undergoing therapy. So it's very, very interesting. If people are interested, the website is binocs.com, BYNOCS.com. And they've got a very nice website that explains everything. And if people need further help, they can just email help@wellingtoneyeclinic.com and we can send them a brochure on binocs. It's all done online with binocs' input. But yeah, it's a fabulous development.
Now, some of the questions coming in, Arthur. I'm 54, had both cataracts removed, but I feel they're growing back. What can be done?
So, Pat, yeah, it's quite a common thing. It's the most common thing we see with cataract or lens surgery, and people refer to it as being an after cataract. Now, the first thing is cataracts can't come back, but what happens is the little membrane that the new lens is resting on, can become slightly cloudy, and we call that posterior capsular pacification. It's got a super solution that seems like magic even today, although it's been around for more than 30 years. And it's a little laser in the office called a YAG laser, Y-A-G. And the YAG laser typically takes anything from 15 to 60 seconds maybe. It's completely painless, opens a little hole in the capsule. So the capsule is still there to support the lens like a hammock would, but there's a little hole centrally now about the size of your pupil, and vision clears up, and the next day you see the difference. So anyone who's had cataract surgery or lens surgery where the vision starts deteriorating, go and see your ophthalmologist that they can do a YAG.
Can I have advice for a person who had eye stroke and now has poor vision but also extra distress of flashing lights?
I'm not sure exactly what is meant by eye stroke, but flashing lights would be a sign that the jelly inside the eye is tugging at the retina. And when the jelly tugs at the retina, the typical thing you see is a flash of light. You can also suddenly start seeing a lot of floaters. So new little black objects drifting in front of you. They can look like spiders or spider webs or drops or circles. They can look like anything. And that would just be the jelly coming loose. And the jelly coming loose is a completely normal phenomena. Happens normally around about the 50s and 60s, but can happen any time earlier for anyone who's very short-sighted. An eye stroke is more of a vascular event, so a blood vessel event, where either an artery clogs or a vein clogs in the back of the eye. And that's quite different. And so with the jelly coming loose, you'd have these visual disturbances, but the vision would still be fine. You can still see through this. But if you have an eye stroke, you'll see a definite reduction in vision, and you need to have that checked out very quickly. And most times, it's not really an eye problem, but the eye is just where it's manifest. And if it can be identified and confirmed, then the first thing that's going to happen is you're going to be sent to a cardiologist or your GP to make sure the heart's okay and there's no clots in the cardiovascular system.
Yeah. This one, I'm 50 years old and now require glasses for both near and far away. Is there any surgery I can have to avoid wearing glasses for either one or both of these issues?
So fundamentally, yeah, there's many options over here. So one of the conversations we have for someone who's 45 plus is we'd say to them, whatever you do, there's a compromise involved. And people would sometimes look at you quizzically, and the first thing we'd say is, well, think about this. If you put your contact lenses in, your distance has improved, but you still need reading glasses. And people say, yeah, I know that. And then, so the two ways you can address this very successfully, to address both far and near, and the one's called monovision or blended vision. What happens there is the one eye is corrected for distance, the other eye is corrected for near, and the brain does the rest. And it sounds quite interesting, it sounds quite daunting and difficult, but 85% of people, it works very, very well. There's a bit of conflict at the start while you're getting used to it, and then it blends, hence the terms blended vision. And once it's blended, all you know is you can see far and you can see near, and you don't even know which eye is doing what. So that's the one option. And the second option is a lens replacement with a lens that is multifocal. So it's a little bit like varifocal glasses, but you don't have to hold your head in certain positions to see in certain places. The multifocal lenses have concentric rings of power inside the lens. So at any given point, you can see basically at any distance, and you can even read, above the horizon. You don't have to hold things down the bottom. So there are solutions, and you can go and find out about that from your local ophthalmologist.
I'm 2 months wearing varifocals for the first time. Any advice on training my eyes to adjust? My eyes are still watering trying to handle the varifocals. That's from Dave.
Yeah, I empathize, Dave. I also had varifocals at one stage, and that's when I eventually had laser surgery done. And that's not to say that most people don't adjust them, because most people do. But there are a percentage of people where it's really hard. It just is quite tricky. My wife's a specialist in hearing and balance, and they would see people with balance issues who's struggling to get used to varifocal. So it's a real thing. It's not something you're imagining. From my perspective, the first thing would be just to give it time, is to probably wear them all the time that you can habituate. You can become used to them. If you're putting them on and taking them off and putting them on and taking them off, then the brain's used to your normal vision and then suddenly has to get used to the varifocal again. I think that's the first thing I would do. If you're still struggling, I can speak to your optometrist again to see if they can make any sort of adjustment in the power in the different parts of the lens. If that still remains difficult, you can look at things like blended vision. So your optometrist can have one lens on the one eye being slightly stronger and on the other eye being slightly weaker, so better for near. So a bit like we spoke a moment ago with laser surgery. You can also do some sort of blended vision with spectacles.
At this one, my 6-year-old girl has a crossed eye, which is outward facing, been seen by a public nurse. Vision is 20/20, so they can do perhaps nothing. What's the next best step to fix it?
This one's a tricky one. So mostly we're very concerned as ophthalmologists if you have one eye seeing in the distance, or one eye seeing well and one eye not seeing well, either because of a turn or because of a difference in power. And that would be called amblyopia or lazy eye. And we'd always have this concern, we've got this window. You heard earlier with Binox, that's become much less of a concern now because we can address it at any time. The thing about people whose eyes look outward, they mostly would have good vision in both eyes, which means often you'd hear the eye care professional say, oh, it's just cosmetic. But the problem is it's a lot more than cosmetic. It's also functional. If your eyes are looking towards the walls, wall-eyed, it reduces your visual field, it reduces your binocular vision, it reduces your confidence, and especially for kids, it can sometimes be quite a thing where other kids are mocking them or being nasty to them. So mostly when you get to this point where you're already 6 years old and you've got good vision in both eyes, it becomes an issue that the parents and the child have to think through. If the parents think this is going to be an issue at school, then it makes sense now to see an ophthalmologist who can correct the vision surgically, or not correct the vision, correct the alignment surgically. For someone who you don't think they're going to have many problems, well, then you can let them continue as they are. And then once they're older, certainly once they start dating and this type of thing, they're going to want to have the eyes fixed. And then they can do it, and they're more part of the decision. But unlike where you have a lazy eye and it's more urgent. This is less urgent from a visual development point of view, but it's still a very important issue from the child's psychological development. Yeah.
But would Binocs not work for this kind of thing where the eye...
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Eye is facing outwards.
So Binocs would, the moment that, that's a very good question, the moment that the eyes are aligned. So for Binocs, the eyes need to be aligned, first of all. They can have a very small deviation. So what Binocs is doing is it's helping the brain relearn to use the eye that's always been ignored. So that's what Binocs does. So for Binocs to work, you need to have alignment before the time, which means you can have an ophthalmologist straighten the eyes, and then you might say, well, why do I need Binocs now because I'm 20/20 in both eyes anyway? Yes, you're 20/20 in both eyes, but the two eyes aren't working together. So what Binocs will do is allow the brain to take that information at the same time and develop 3D vision. Yeah. It's a really good question, that.
Teresa says, bleeding in the back of my eye as spotted by my optometrist. I don't have high blood pressure, don't have high pressure in my eye, so I presume I don't have glaucoma. I had something floating in front of my eye recently, bit of a red cobweb. Saw an ophthalmologist and he dismissed it as a floater. He did say he could see the bleed at the back of my eye, but I'm a bit worried about it all.
Okay, so there'd be three things there. The one is it could be just nothing. It's just a little tiny bleed. And if you're on something like aspirin, that kind of thing's more likely. The second one is much along the lines of what we discussed a moment ago with the jelly detachment, where the jelly comes loose. So in this process where the jelly's coming loose and it's tugging at the retina, it's got the potential to tug at a small little vessel. If that little vessel bleeds slightly, you're going to see the small little bleed. Of course, it'll clear as long as it hasn't caused a little hole in the retina. So again, that's something which you needn't be concerned about. Probably that's what's happened to date, but you'd like to have a bit more information as to that's what I think the cause was. And at the same time, I've checked the retinal periphery, and I can tell you the rest of the retina is healthy, so I don't expect any problems. And the problem that we want to avoid is retinal detachment. So if at any point you see a black curtain, you've got to let us know immediately. And then the last one is very interesting, and Teresa mentioned it herself. She said, I don't think I have glaucoma. So there's a condition called low-tension glaucoma, which is glaucoma which most people think is a high pressure in the eye. But in fact, a more modern definition is it's a pressure in your eye, whether it's high or low, that is for you personally too high. So you can have people with low-tension glaucoma where the pressure is completely normal, yet they're developing glaucoma. And many of these patients would get what's called a splinter hemorrhage with a small little bleed on the nerve. So I think what I would do is just... maybe go back to the ophthalmologist, get more information, or maybe even just get a second opinion from someone like a glaucoma specialist. That would be worthwhile. Because as you know, Pat, is glaucoma is one of these things that prevention is better than cure. If you pick it up early,
absolutely,
it's very unlikely
you're
going to lose sight from it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right, Arthur, that's all we've time for on this slot. Dr. Arthur Cummings, ophthalmologist and medical director at the Wellington Eye Clinic at the Beacon. Thank you very much for joining us.